World Dairy Expo is underway in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Susan Littlefield with the American Ag Network. Learning more today about Amlin, the minerals by nature, performance by design, as we have three gentlemen joining us to talk more about how they're there in the dairy industry.
So my name is Wade Roby. I've been with Oil Direct Corporation for about 5 years now. I serve as president of Amlin International, and also work with our agricultural carriers division in Oil Dry as well. I've been in the animal nutrition agricultural industries for about 38 years now, working across really food, feed, fuel, renewable products, and animal nutrition and health products as well.
All right. And Dr. D'Souza.
Yeah, I know. I was just making sure I said your name right.
You did.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hi. My name is Mervyn D'Souza, and I am VP for R&D at Oil Dry. And as an R&D group at Oil Dry, we support not just Amlin and Division 6, but also the other divisions with ag and floor absorbents and cat litter that Oil Dry has as well. I've spent about 25 plus years in the food ingredient space at companies like Cargill and Tate & Lyle and Sensient. And I'm excited to be at Oil Dry, you know, switching fields a bit, but still bringing in the expertise I have in teams and R&D to Oil Dry.
All right. And last but not least, Ted Rossi.
Aldo Rossi. Been with Amlin International for a little bit over 3 years. I'm the Director of Veterinary Services. Veterinarian by training. Been in the ag animal field for my whole career. With some focus on poultry, but now I'm doing multi-species.
So, mycotoxins is something that nobody wants to deal with, and it seems like, especially this time of year, it really pops up more conversation as corn is being harvested, as crops are getting to be put up for the winter. So, kind of talk about why this still remains a threat like it is, and I'm just going to throw out whoever wants to, I guess they're all pointing to you, Dr. Rossi.
Okay, no, very good. Yeah, so good point. You know, the harvest is being, it's coming in. Eventually we'll get some data on the mycotoxin levels and the type of mycotoxins in the current new year. But also this time of the year, we're also kind of ending some of the old stock as well, right? So you have that being stored for a while, but there could be potential for some buildup of mycotoxins through the storage process, depending on the storage quality. So yeah, it's something that does have a cycle, and from year to year can differ on the types of mycotoxins depending on the growing season for each of the grains. But it is a constant threat every year, just depending on which ones and at what level.
So why is it such a global, and I don't know whoever wants to answer, why is it such a global concern and continues to be?
So we use around the world, again, depending upon the world area, we can use different substrates, but a lot of them are common. And most of certainly the grain-based substrates are highly susceptible to fungal growth that occurs either in the field or, as Dr. Rossi said, after the grain has been harvested and then put up into storage. So when situations are correct or applicable for fungal growth to happen, these fungal species, and there's a whole variety of them, will produce a very wide range of these mycotoxins. Which then become resident in that grain. And then when we use it in animal feed, it's very harmful to the animal that consumes them. Different ones for different species, but I guess the universal or common theme is that they're present all around the world. They differ every season based on climatic conditions and which fungal species, again, are predominating that year. Singly, they're very toxic, but in combination, they can be even worse. And we see that happening in all world areas. So all world areas have to pay attention to this. They have to focus on feed quality and using products like ours, like Amlin International cells, that can help mitigate that issue for the animal's health are very important for nutritionists or veterinarians to consider.
That's what the next question I was going to ask is, what role does Amlin play and how can you guys be there to help?
I think there's a couple things. One, obviously, we have the expertise of the staff. Everyone has an agricultural background and understands the feeding animals, regardless of species. But then also, we have the expertise of toxin binding. Amlin International is the newest division of Oil Dry, but we still have over 80 years of mineral technology. And so Oil Dry is a sorbent mineral company. They own or control the mines, and they're all here in the United States. The one that's used for food animal is out of Illinois, a mine in Illinois. So we have complete control of the mining process, the quality, the consistency. And so, again, we have that those resources. We have the technology that enhances that clay to enhance its ability. That we change the surface chemistry that enhances its ability to bind biotoxins. And then, going like again, we got the sales and tech support behind the product.
Yeah, and so to just add to what Aldo said, we're also, so we work in collaboration. So I think to your point, that's the value of having an R&D group that supports all of our divisions, including Amlin. So we work very closely in partnership, and we're looking at, we track, you know, what's out there. We get data from the field, from Aldo and the tech service team. And then the R&D group is also looking at what the binding efficiency is of these, you know, how our products are working compared to what the stress might be out there. So I think it's a collaborative effort, and we're trying to stay on top of it. To your point, it's an ongoing threat, and it's one where we try and stay one step ahead and keep track of what's going on.
Well, you hate to lose the feed because of it, so it's nice to know that there's help out there for it. How does that work into, you know, obviously helping to keep milk production up, but keep that gut health? When they're eating something that isn't healthy for them per se because of the mycotoxins that are in there, even though the feed quality is what they need, how is Amlin working together to kind of bring this all into one, I guess, package per se?
Yeah, I can,
with a
I
big
can,
bow on that.
Yeah, I can start. This is Wade Roby. I can start, and then Aldo maybe could add some additional color to it. So when you utilize products that are in Amlin's portfolio, the basic core technology we have is a clay-based technology using a very specific clay mineral, calcium montmorillonite. And that mineral is well known in the literature and in practical use for literally decades to bind a lot of different toxins that an animal might encounter that are either produced through the substrates that go into the animal feed, or that actually are produced what we call in vivo, in the animal, from bacterial populations, because bacteria, especially the pathogenic ones, produce toxins that can be very harmful to the animal. So our clay mineral has the ability to bind those, whether they're a fungal origin or bacterial origin, and really remove them from the gut of the animal, preventing them from being directly damaging to that gut or to the natural microbial population that exists. And we actually, that clay then carries it out the back end of the animal and renders it not able to harm the animal. Having that ability gives us a very broad spectrum approach to dealing with toxins, again, whether they're a microbial or fungal origin. You're never going to eliminate them. They're in the microbial species are always going to be in the environment. Fungal species are always as well and going to be in grains. So you really have to be on guard and diligent to make sure you have mitigating solutions. And our clays do that. And when they do that work, they protect the gut health. They prevent damage to that intestinal lining. They prevent the absorption of those toxins, which can damage the animal systemically. And all that leads to allowing the animal to have a better utilization of the nutrients that we feed, a more economic conversion of that into meat or milk, and just a healthier animal. Some of these toxins are also directly damaging to the reproductive system. Different toxins have very specific targets to the reproductive system, causing abortions, causing reductions in milk production, causing changes even in milk composition or in poultry, damaging hatch. So these are all very critical things that clay-based solutions like Amlin offers can help solve.
I mean, you covered all the bases. These animals, when they get exposed to these toxins, as Wade was stating, it's a constant exposure. The levels may change, of course, but it's a constant exposure. And in long-lived animals, some of these toxins that do get absorbed and go systemic, like Wade was saying, their half-lives can be in days or weeks. Right? So they're consuming it every day, and it takes a long time for them to degrade. So there's an eventual buildup. And in long-lived animals, like a dairy cow, beef cow, that becomes harmful over time. And so where our product allows the ability to bind these before they get absorbed, and then as those other products that are still in there degrade mm-hmm. in the body or get transferred back into the gut and then get absorbed by our binders, eventually within a few days and weeks, you start to see that those levels decrease in the animal, and again, restoring some level of health.
What's the palatability of it? I'm assuming cattle like it because they're eating it. But is
you mean of the product?
Of the product itself. Sorry, because okay. You were talking about the clay and the minerals, and I just wondered if it.
Yeah, so we're a very low inclusion product, so we're generally going into a ration when you're looking at biotoxin control, somewhere a half kilo to a kilo per metric ton, so a relatively small inclusion rate. People do use higher levels of clays at times for feed flow ability, for improving pellet quality. But for the specific purposes we're talking about, we're generally maxing out around a kilo per met ton. That's not going to be noticeable to the animal, okay. And certainly doesn't, whether it be preference or palatability, would have really no impact at all on the animal's desire to eat the feed. So
you're mixing it in like a TMR, or how you?
So in a poultry ration, it would go into a feed mill and be added into a compound feed. It could also go into a base mix or be used as a carrier in a premix, actually. For vitamins, minerals, etc. But in a dairy ration, generally it would come in either in a base mix or being added in the TMR mix wagon.
Anything else you guys want to add?
I mean, it's fairly, just to continue on palatability, it's fairly neutral. I mean, that there's no significant off taste or odor associated with it, so it's really not perceptible. I would
absolutely.
Think to the animal, right? I
mean, no, absolutely. I've tasted it myself, and there is no taste.
I mean, humans.
I somebody had tried it.
Yeah.
There is a history that in the globe of the humans eating clay. Yeah.
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 Yeah. The other thing I would add, I just want to touch on what Aldo said in one of his comments. There's a lot of customers can buy a lot of different clay products. They're available either by global providers, and there's a lot of key competitors we deal with, but also a lot of local clays. And the thing we would point out, which I believe makes Amlin different, one, it's the vertical integration that Aldo mentioned. It's having not only the mine, but we control our production all the way to the customer. So we have that chain of custody, that IP, identity preservation of the product, all the way to the end user, which allows us to ensure the customer uses it.
Hold on a second. Okay, it kept recording. Somebody was calling in, and I wanted to make sure it didn't interrupt you.
So we have that IP all the way to the end user. That allows us to ensure that the expectations we have of quality and of value and of return on investment for the customer are always going to be there. That's not necessarily the same when a customer would buy a local clay. You can buy a lot of clays on the market. You can, what we call shake and bake it, you can blend them and put things together that will have all different kinds of compositions and have all different kinds of value in terms of its ability to bind these toxins. The clay is very specific, and then how we process it is very specific. That's where our intellectual property exists, is that's that control and then the processing. And you're not going to get that with a locally sourced clay necessarily. So that's really a differentiating value for us. As Mervin said, we add in the R&D, we invest in the tech service for our products, the marketing, everything we do to ensure our customer gets a consistent experience. And that's where we hope to differentiate ourselves.
You were shaking your head, Dr. Susan. I was wondering if you could kind of...
Yes, not no. You're shaking in a nodding way.
let me clarify. You were agreeing with what was said, but very much so. Kind of share what your takeaway
is. So I think you didn't ask the question, but in addition to our clay, so everything that Wade said, proprietary, the way in which we source, process, and have treated and analyzed our clay products is a lot more than just what you think of as clay. There's a lot more that goes into it. And I think in addition to the fact that we bind these because of that surface chemistry and what goes on with the structure as well, mm-hmm. It's binding these mycotoxins, but it's not taking away from nutrition. So you're getting kind of a benefit where you're taking away the bads, you're not impacting the goods, and you're seeing the results when you look at feed conversion ratio, as you go through this. So there's a whole bunch of benefits.
And the final thing is, and Aldo's very humble, but not only do we provide the nutritional support with tech service staff, but we also have veterinary support through folks like Aldo. And Aldo actually works with customers in the field to look at birds or look at dairy cattle or look at pigs and see how the animals are consuming our product and how they're doing. And that includes just not only just working with a live production staff, but also posting when it's required to try to understand how it's impacting the health of the animal at the gut level. So we try to provide all that as part of a package, the value package that we sell.
So either one of you, correct me if I'm wrong, but this sounds like something as a dairy producer, a poultry producer, whatever, you should automatically be including in your feed rations before you have an issue with mycotoxins or, you know, with any of the other diseases that are out there that'll cause for loss of production in these animals. Why not just be...
Right? Yeah, we think so.
Okay, yes. So I am on the right track.
You know, absolutely, great question, great point. And absolutely is, you know, in my years of 35 years of working in production of different animals, most people are looking for that obvious clinical sign or disease or performance issue, right? But particularly these toxins and mycotoxins, and especially when they're at lower levels, as Wade mentioned earlier in the conversation, you don't deal with just one of them alone, solo. Last year's corn harvest, for example, 100% of the samples that were tested had two or more mycotoxins in them. And they start working synergistically with each other. But even at those lower levels, you're not going to see the obvious, you know, lesion that you can walk into a barn and say, oh my goodness, I got a problem. It's those subclinical levels that are just slowly eroding performance and eroding profits that people don't realize until they use a product like ours and saying, oh my goodness, now I know what it was robbing me of. And we've had several customers do that in different species. Like, that is not an issue for us. But they may want to try the product because maybe there's something else that they're missing or they would never have used one. And this product gets some experience. And they see the results and you see the difference in performance and efficiencies and production. And you're like, wow, now I see the return on investment. I see what I was leaving on the table. And yes, it's an everyday constant challenge the animals go through.
Yeah, I'll give an example, and maybe Aldo again can elaborate, but I'll use a poultry one, even though we're talking about a dairy audience specifically here. But we had a poultry customer that was testing our products, and they wanted to use a feed that they thought was clean. It had passed their quality standards. It was clean. They didn't need to put anything in it. They put our product in it, and they improved the performance of the animal. And so it just underscored to them that, hey, there's even though it may pass our quality standards, as Aldo said, virtually every feed stuff that they provide, grain stuff, it's going to have mycotoxins in it of some number. And these things are so toxic that even very small levels below what people would consider to be a threat or to violate their quality standard causes subclinical damage and performance. And then you layer on top of that the bacterial toxins that, again, that are always present in the environment, in the gut, that they're not measuring when they're testing for feed quality. They're happening in the animal. Those we can handle as well, and those are also causing subclinical damage, not necessarily a direct lesion, as Aldo said, but they're eroding feed conversion, intake, body weight, yield, production, reproductive production. So all those things are very important.
So where does somebody go? Poultry producer, dairy producer, where's the best place for them to go to get more information so they can get this incorporated into their feed?
So I'll probably answer that one. So we sell in different world areas by different means, different channels. In the United States, we mostly sell direct, so please reach out to Amlin International. We have a website. You can call our corporate offices in Chicago. But we also have sales representatives and technical representatives like Aldo in the North American market. Internationally, we have people present in most world areas. We also work with distribution partners. So if someone in Brazil wants to reach us, we can put them together with our distributors that will then provide the products to them. So multiple ways, but reach out to Amlin, in Chicago, or our website. We can put you in touch with the right person to be able to find out more, not just about our products, but about the challenges and the solutions we think we can bring.
Yeah, I'll just further add to it. Please do go to the website. The website is very well designed, easy to maneuver through, a lot of information by species if you want, or by product. And as well as, like Wade said, from there you can also reach out to contact us, and you know, we can get back to those in interest.
Anything for you? You're
kind of
the quiet one of the group.
No, you've got all the points covered. Maybe going back just a little bit, Susan, to what you said, where you said well, why wouldn't everyone be using this? And I was talking to Wade when we were on a dairy farm yesterday, and it's one of those things where, like Aldo said, if you're waiting for the lesion or waiting for something to come in, it might be too late. But having some level of this, it's almost that unseen value. But if you have dairy farmers who are educated and nutritionists who understand it, having some level of inclusion of these products is going to help you prevent something that, you know, so it's also that, I don't know how to capture it articulately, but when you have this, you can prevent issues from happening versus going in after the fact.
So. And Mervyn's also very humble. I'll brag on him a bit. Mervyn's a world-class technologist that I've known for 25 years now. So I worked with Mervyn at Cargill years and years ago. And he's worked at major technology companies over the last 25 years, not only just Cargill, but others, as he mentioned. So he's been with us now for about 4.5 months, and we are really stepping up on the R&D side, our capability to do even more research around our products, but also around these problems that the dairy industry, poultry, swine industries face, and how to bring innovative solutions. So Mervyn's new to the group, but not new to the field, and it really brings a world-class level of technology capability to us that we're very glad to have and really bolster our team.
My conversation with three amazing gentlemen explaining more about Amlin International at World Dairy Expo. I'm Susan Littlefield reporting.